I'm Andrew Richardson, and this is the second of the Action suite of audios, which most of you will be the final suite on your path to depression recovery. And in this audio, we are looking at human needs, our essential requirements for emotional health. And when depressed, our capacity to live a life where we use our resources to get these needs met is seriously compromised. But now that you are recovering, you can change that. But where should you be looking? How best can you evaluate your life? And particularly, where are these gaps and deficiencies right now? That is what this audio is about. If you listen to this audio a number of times, your understanding of how you should live life will be significantly enhanced, such that you can begin to stand back and view it in an altogether more useful way, useful for regaining and maintaining your emotional and mental health. So here's what you need to do. To understand our essential human needs, you need to ask yourself 7 questions. That's it. It's all in the Q5 questionnaire, which you can look at again after you have listened to this audio. And ask yourself how well that need is being met for you right now. Not in the past, not in a projected future, but right now. And grade it. What number might you give yourself? From 0 to 10, where 0 is not getting that need met at all, and 10 signifies getting that need met fully and completely. And then ask yourself, what could I do now and over the next week or so to get those low numbers, say below 5, up a notch or 2? And how would I know if the need was being better met? So as you think about your life right now, as it unfolds from day to day and week to week, let me ask you these questions. And you will see that what I'm getting at, if you recall the Q5 questionnaire, which you recently completed, is the needs audit using my needs pagoda. The pagoda is my way to use these powerful essential needs ideas, road tested and working brilliantly for my clients, and I hope now for you too. And there's the needs pagoda is in the Q5 questionnaire. And then you can begin to self-diagnose and discover what you need to do. Think of human needs like a building. What do you need first? Well, we need secure foundations. And above that, a living space. And finally, a roof, which makes the building whole and complete. This is the needs pagoda in the questionnaire. And let's take these one at a time. First, safety and security, the foundation on which everything else has to rest. This is about an inner sense of security. Wherever you are and whatever you are doing, I'm talking about a visceral emotional response. And of course, there can be a physical, emotional, or financial element to being safe. So how safe are you now? What mark out of 10 would you give yourself? And can you distinguish between feeling unsafe because there is an outside threat that you need to protect yourself against or escape from, and unsafe feelings that arise from how you are interpreting and reacting to what is happening? For the first, you must do something, and at the very least get practical advice. What can you do? Can you get help and advice? Can you get protection? Or can you leave the situation? And for the second, there is perhaps a trauma release and a pattern clearing work that is needed. In other words, that you feel unsafe because of how you are dealing with your situation. And perhaps you are feeling safer because you now have hope that your depression will end and are actually directly experiencing an improvement, having released trauma, cleared patterns, and experienced relaxation. And you are comfortable enough to be patient. And now control, question 2. Control is more subtle, but once your safety is assured, this is the essential next step, the next vital plank on your very own needs pagoda. For without a measure of control, nothing is possible. But with some control, you can then progress onto the other higher needs, and a virtuous circle can begin. I'm talking about emotional control above all else. For from greater emotional control, assuming that you are safe and secure, all else follows. Are your emotions now calming down? Enough to be heard and to be acknowledged, and if necessary, acted on? It will be interesting for you to notice how much this vital emotional control function has improved for you as your depression begins to fade. My guess is that when the depression was at full tilt, the lack of control over your mind and emotions seems almost complete. And so nothing else was possible. But now, how are you using your emotional resources will be, for most of you, your key resource. And if you are exhausted with depression, then truly you are lost in a vicious cycle. You should also think about how you handle change and deal with the inevitable uncertainties of life. The safer you feel and the more emotions are working for you, then uncertainty can be appreciated much more. You can deal with change and variety. So are you safety conscious now or risk conscious? So for example, consider how your important relationships might improve. More pleasure, less rows, sharing. You can begin to see it in your partner's eyes. He or she is becoming more relaxed. Can you imagine the small improvements you could notice? And how you might be enjoying friends more, not so self-obsessed and looking outward now. And the work you do. Small changes in the right direction. Or, if your emotions are still powerful and strong, crude and overwhelming, then what are the triggers? Maybe you need more rewinds from an effect bridge exercise or a narrative reframe. Go get back again to these audios. They are a fantastic resource and they can continue to be as you begin to deal with your essential emotional needs and what is hampering you. Okay, now up the pagoda to what most people mean by needs, relationships and work. My basic point is that though these can be thought of as distinct, in the practical daily life we all lead, they are often hopelessly intermixed. But work and relationships, if there are problems, are not working, then the tension and anxiety that will follow can overwhelm us. Take relationships, which is questions 3 and 4. This is an enormous field, of course, and our need for relationships and human connections is absolutely essential. In primitive times, if we were alone, we died. And even now, to be outside the group can be a very lonely and dangerous place to find ourselves. And if this number is low for you, what is stopping you? Is it habits, shyness, or not seeing that there are opportunities just to get a little closer to someone? And to have this need met a little better, how would that help you? What else might begin to change for you? And depression can be toxic for our essential relationships. We are embarrassed and ashamed to show our face. We are lost in a selfish, self-absorbed trance. Who could be interested in us? We have nothing to say except to burden our friends and loved ones with our problems. and all self-confidence and assurance have gone. Is this how it was for you? And having gone through so much of this program, are you noticing an improvement? Is your spouse or partner happier now and more responsive, for example? And in terms of this needs audit, there are two elements to our relationship needs. The first is around intimacy and love and connection. Often this is one-on-one or between very few and very much family dominated. And the other relationship we need is how we connect and identify with a broader group. It could be at work, it could be in a wider family, it could be our locality or our hobby connection, and it could even go all the way up to how we feel connected to our nation. So how are you scoring on these two relationship functions? And so to the work we do, questions 5 and 6. Our human requirement is to be active and busy, as I have said. After all, we are bodies as well as minds, and the activity we undertake has to be satisfying and meaningful. Clearly, if we are earning a livelihood and feel connected to the organisation in which we work, or the work itself, then this can naturally bring satisfaction and achievement and a sense of status. All of these are part and parcel of satisfying work. And of course, this connects us to our relationship needs as well, since the work we do and how we work and how we connect to our fellow workers and our clients and our suppliers can be essential. But it need not be paid work, of course. It can be hobbies, housework, family work. And if essential and appreciated, then contribution and satisfaction will follow. And fun too. And your status. Is your status acknowledged by those who you work with and live with? This is about reward and appreciation, fitting in, or feelings of inferiority, jealousy, hostility. And if you lack status here, what could you do that would be appreciated by people who you are with? And how might you plan and prepare for this? Is more training needed? More qualifications? See yourself having that feeling of greater status and appreciation amongst those who you care about. Which leads us to meaning, question 7, and the top of the pagoda. Now, this is a big subject, of course, and many of you will have a strong sense of what it might mean for you. For our purposes here, I am greatly influenced by Viktor Frankl and his classic Man's Search for Meaning. Viktor was a survivor of Auschwitz, and his basic insight, as I understand it, was not to answer this question from certain philosophical or religious first principles. Let me quote from him. "It really does not matter what we expect of life. Rather, what does life expect from us, moment by moment, day by day? Life's meaning is concrete, just as our life's tasks are. The meaning of life is discovered in the world rather than from within. And so we create meaning by our work and action, by experiencing something or encountering someone, notably through the experience of love and the transcendent, by our attitude to unavoidable suffering. Then we are challenged to change ourselves. Or, more mundanely and grounded, by being needed ourselves and therefore serving others, as in raising a family, working in a team, running a business, or learning new mental and physical skills, as in travelling, exploration, learning a language, academic study, obtaining a profession, sport, a craft, and music and so on. And by being connected in some way with philosophical, political, religious or spiritual ideas that are bigger than us, as in a quest for truth, religious practices, or pursuing a spiritual path of development. You will now know the degree to which you are feeling better. It is all making sense. It's all joining up. What you need, is it flowing? And think about the balance of each need. Neither too much nor too little. Neither too hot nor too cold. Like Goldilocks porridge, are the ingredients of your life in the right proportion, as in your favourite recipe? There is a lot here. I want you to ponder it, to listen to this audio again, and then maybe again. And as you begin to see your life through the prism of my needs pagoda, itself adapted from the teachings of human givens, you will begin to see the connection to their wisdom and understanding. And this will stay with you and always be there to help you. Thank you.